In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This changes everything. That was the tagline when the first Apple iPhone was introduced in 2007. Well, one could say that was debatable whether it changed everything. Some critics pointed out it didn't change everything. But it might be fair to say that it was in some sense a game changer within the cell phone marketplace. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines game changer as a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. Notice two parts to that. First, a newly introduced element or factor, and when that happens, in turn, it changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if there's anything that warrants the phrase, this is a real game changer, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus brings in a new element, a new creation that breaks into the present world of a dying and decaying creation. It introduces a new element into the world, namely not only that God loves bodily life, but that bodily life will continue into the new creation forever, to live under the gracious lordship of our embodied Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Hermann Sasse, the well-known theologian in the 20th century, once made the point that the message of Easter is not that Jesus lives, but that Jesus is risen. Now, at first glance, there may not appear to be much of a difference between saying that he is risen and that he lives. It might even appear to be a distinction without a difference. After all, if he is risen, then it must mean he lives. And furthermore, does not Job say, as we often sing on Easter, "I know that my Redeemer lives"? And of course, that is true. So yes, to say that Jesus is risen is also to say that he lives. But the distinction made by Hermann Sasse becomes important as a game changer when we consider how we often speak of death and of the death of those who have preceded us. And perhaps more importantly, the confession that Jesus is risen, and not only that Jesus lives, becomes a game changer in how we regard our bodily life or our embodied life. In both cases, the resurrection brings to the forefront the importance and the value of bodily life when it comes to the nature and content of our Christian hope. To see what a game changer this is, we might consider two views regarding bodily death that can be found within our culture, both historically and today. Neither of them rises from the Christian message of the resurrection. First, within many cultures and traditions, death is the end of the body, but it is not the end of life. In other words, in some way, life can and does exist apart from the body and apart from the physical creation that we see around us. The life that continues is often portrayed not as life in the body, but life in the spirit. As a result, the death is the end of the body, or death as the end of the body, might actually be seen as a good thing, in as much as suffering and pain are often situated within our bodies. Thus, we may welcome death or even regard death as a friend that sets us or our spirits free from a body that is racked by physical pain and suffering. On this basis, one might even seek to comfort others by speaking of bodily death as actually some kind of a gateway or transition to a higher and better life. In a sense, such an approach defangs death as to render our bodily death perhaps as a little less frightening and perhaps even a little comforting. After all, it rids us of our suffering and pain, our grief and sadness, and most especially of our ailing and weak body. But it is the end of only one form of existence. It brings an end to the body as something of a temporary vessel, you might say. Now, again, there's an element here that may resonate with us in that when we die, we are with Jesus, awaiting our resurrection on the last day. But apart from the resurrection, this is ultimately a distorted story and not the entire story. Secondly, more recently within our Western world, death is not only the end of the body, but the end of life as well. Whereas in the former case, it was the end of life in the body, but not the end of life in the spirit. In this regard, Peter Blackaby, a person who might well describe himself as an atheist, or at least not one who believes in God, writes honestly and bluntly about this. He writes, "First of all, it is worth reflecting on the most difficult problem we face as human beings, that we know we are going to die, a knowledge that almost certainly no other species lives with. A starting point that stresses we are born alone and that we die alone and that we do not carry on after that might appear pretty bleak. But for me, this is the bottom line. I believe that facing up to this reality is the ultimate challenge of being human. And I do not want to fabricate any false promises or positions to try to make me feel better about the situation. Rather, I want to develop the qualities that enable me to live a life with this knowledge and without fear." And then he goes on to speak about what that means in terms of inspiring us to live our lives as richly as we can, knowing that our time here is brief. Well, again, there is an element here that may resonate with us in as much as for many of us, our years are winding down, and we see that perhaps we have spent all of our life working and neglecting the importance of time with family and friends. But again, by itself, this is a distorted story and not the entire story. Over and against these views, the bodily resurrection of Jesus manifests and declares the goodness and the value of bodily life, both here, both in the here and now, and in the hereafter. What better affirmation that God loves his physical creation can be found than in the resurrection of Jesus? God first created our bodies and breathed into them the breath of life, at which point we became living bodies. This means that I am not who I am apart from my bodily life. But since the fall of Adam and Eve, and due to the original sin that inheres within us, our bodies bear the mark and the curse of death, by which our bodily life is returned to the ground from which God made us. Yet God would not give up on his creation, nor would he give up on the embodied life he envisioned us to have. And so when he sent his son into the world to rescue and renew the world, he did so by sending his son into the world to take on for himself our bodily existence, our human bodily existence. And it was his life as embodied life that he suffered and died. And even then, God would not leave his bodily life in the grave. Instead, with his spirit, God breathed new life into the lifeless body of Jesus. Inhaling that breath, he sat up and walked out of the grave. And now into eternity, Jesus, the eternal begotten Son of God, lives an embodied life as our brother and as the Lord of all creation. Because of Jesus, death is not the end of life. More specifically, because of Jesus, death is not the end of bodily life, that life by which we interact with each other, and by which we interact with the world, and by which we interact with God, by way of our bodily minds, reason, and senses. So although death separates our body and soul temporarily, there will come a time when Jesus returns, at which point he will reunite our body and soul by breathing new life into us and raising us up from the ground whole and complete, as he first did in Genesis 2. And in raising us body and soul from the ground, we will leave behind forever the marks and scars of the curse that currently characterize our bodily life in the here and now. On that day, we will be able to draw upon those wonderful words of Job in chapter 19. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes will behold, and not another. It is this conviction, this confession, that is the true game changer within the world, and in a real sense, in a comprehensive, all-encompassing sense, this changes everything. Amen. He is risen. Indeed. Hallelujah.